In this lesson, we're going to pick up where we left off several videos ago when I first introduced the concept of stored procedures. In fact, I've alluded to them several times already, but wanted to cover this topic in a little more detail. In this video, I'll begin by talking about what stored procedures are conceptually, where they fit in your application architecture, and most importantly, when and why do you need to use them. So let's start off with the basics. What exactly are stored procedures? Well, stored procedures are named collections of transact SQL statements. So it's similar to a function or a subprocedure in Visual Basic or C#, where you write some code, you put it into a code block, and then give that code block a name so that you can invoke it many times throughout the rest of your application. And the same is true here. You can write some meaningful transact SQL, you can give it a name, store it on the server, and then use it many places throughout your application. Or actually, you can use it in many different applications. Typically, developers or database administrators create stored procedures so that the transact SQL code can be kept separate from the programming logic that they write with Visual Basic or C#. And as I'll explain further in a moment, you could just put all your transact SQL directly in literal strings in your Visual Basic or C# code. And there are some benefits to this approach. Or you can put your transact SQL code into a stored procedure and simply call it from your Visual Basic or C# code using ADO.NET. And there are some benefits to this approach as well. And I'll even demonstrate how to do this much later in this video lesson. So let's talk about the benefits and the disadvantages in just a moment, but before we get into that, let's talk about what you can do with a stored procedure. Just like functions in Visual Basic or C#, you can accept one or more input parameters with a stored procedure. You can define output parameters in terms of values that are returned from a stored procedure. You can retrieve an entire result set, or rather a collection of data rows, or you can retrieve just a single value, which is called a scalar value. Or your stored procedure can just perform an operation and return nothing at all. A single stored procedure can contain multiple transact SQL statements, so you can have several select statements, a couple of updates, and an insert statement, all within the same stored procedure definition. Additionally, you can define flow control, so you can write real logic within your stored procedures, complete with variable declaration and assignment, code blocks, looping and branching statements, and you can even iterate through individual rows in a result set using something called cursors. Now, admittedly, this is a slightly more advanced topic, but you might soon find yourself saying, hey, I wish I could do this in my stored procedure, and the answer is you probably can. Also, stored procedures live on the database server. So in the case of SQL Server 2005 Express Edition, they are database objects just like tables are. So you can assign permissions as to which logins can execute those stored procedures. So in a multi-user environment like we talked about in Lesson 7, you can control who can access or update your database's data simply through assigning permissions on the individual stored procedures. So this adds another dimension of security and control to your application if you need it. Also along the same lines, if you have multiple applications that require the same basic retrieval or manipulation of data, you can improve the manageability of your data access code by keeping all transact SQL across all your applications that use a given database in a given set of stored procedures. So already you're starting to see some of the capabilities of stored procedures, and they should begin leading you down the path of realizing that stored procedures are best suited for applications that are used by multiple users and multiple applications where security is important. So if you have aspirations to build enterprise scale applications for mid to large size organizations, then building your stored procedure skill set is critical. So this leads us into one of the most important points of this presentation. Now that we have all this background in place, when and why should you use stored procedures? Well, let me say that despite what you might read or hear from other software developers, you don't have to always use stored procedures. Stored procedures have a purpose, they have a benefit, but they're just simply not necessary for every single situation. In some cases, they're overkill. Like if you're building a consumer-based software application, for example, that will serve a single user and you don't need to perform complex queries with a lot of flow control. Then you could simply embed your T-SQL directly into your C# or VB code. You'll notice that many of the designers and tools in the Visual Studio and Express Edition toolset support this very paradigm. And so while some might turn their noses up to this approach, let me convince you that this is perfectly acceptable. And the benefit to intermixing your T-SQL with your C# or VB code is that it does make it convenient during development. You just have to look at one source for all of your application source code. The downside is that T-SQL intermixed with your VB C# code can look kind of messy, so there's a trade-off there. Now, if your application requirements warrant a more robust data access approach, perhaps you need to perform several complex queries together, or you have special data processing or security or manageability needs, then you'll want to move to a stored procedure-centric data access layer. So the moral of the story is that you should always pick the best data access approach for the job. If it makes sense to use stored procedures, then use them. But don't just default to using stored procedures. There's many people who do this, and they're really not sure why they do it. Okay, so now let's get to the good stuff. So first, let's take a look at how to create a simple stored procedure. You'll notice that I have SQL Server Management Studio Express open, that I'm connected to the AdventureWorks database and my local instance of SQL Server 2005 Express Edition. And for instructions on how to do this, you might want to refer to some of the previous videos where I've used the AdventureWorks database in the past. I won't take the time to do that right now. But at any rate, I'm just going to paste in some Transact SQL. This is actually a DDL, or rather data definition language, that defines a stored procedure. And you can see that I have the create procedure keyword used. I have a name, and that name is made up of a schema and a name for the stored procedure. We'll talk about schemas in just a moment. Then I have my select statement in this case. Now I could follow this up with several additional statements, other select statements, updates, deletes, and we'll grow the complexity of the stored procedure in just a moment. But essentially I have a begin and end statement that kind of create a code block for my stored procedure. And if I were to execute this stored procedure, and let's do this, let's open up our programmability stored procedures, and we'll look to see, do we currently have in place a stored procedure by the name employees by state? No, we don't. Okay, so I'm going to execute this stored procedure. Notice that I get a command completed successfully message, and now if I were to refresh this list, I can now see my employees by state stored procedure. There are a couple different ways to create a stored procedure. You can see that I just pasted in a stored procedure that obviously I had created before I started recording this video, but there's a couple of other ways that we can do that. One of the first ways is just right click on the stored procedure folder and select new stored procedure, and that gives you the template for a simple stored procedure. And as we learned from lesson number 9, you can use this specify values for template parameters in order to populate the procedure name, the parameters, and things of that nature. You can accomplish the same thing by going to the template explorer and by finding your stored procedure. Let's see where we have that at. Stored procedure, and they have several different variations on this with different themes. The basic template, which is the one we see here, creating one with an output parameter and things of that nature, will not take the time to look at that just now. So I'm going to close the template explorer and also close down this window. But honestly, it's just as easy to remember the syntax, just to create the procedure, give it the name, and then continue on with the body of the stored procedure itself. Now, let's say, for example, I wanted to modify the stored procedure in the future. Perhaps the query isn't quite right, something changed in my data underlying data tables. So what I can do is just right-click and select Modify. And this will create an alter procedure. So now any changes that I make in the body after the alter and then give it the name will be applied, and the next time that I go to execute the stored procedure, the new altered version of the stored procedure will be executed instead of the original procedure, the create procedure. Also, in the Object Explorer, you can see the list of input parameters and the return values for my stored procedure, and this will become more evident as we add some parameters. Okay, so let's suppose that we want to go ahead and execute the stored procedure that we just created. I'll open up a new query window, make sure I'm connected to the available databases, in the available databases drop-down. I want to be connected to the AdventureWorks database, and then I'm going to type in execute dbo.employees by state, and I'll use either the execute button or F5 or Control E on my keyboard to execute this statement. And notice that I get the results of the stored procedure. I was able to call it by name and have it return all of the rows from the query that were defined within the body of my stored procedure. You might also see it executed like this, exec.exec/employees by state, and we'll accomplish the exact same thing. Okay, so for the rest of this video, I'm going to use the alter statement. So I'm just going to right-click and select Modify. And so we can see the definition, and we're going to change this up as we go along. Before we get too far, let me point out a couple of things. First of all, let's talk about the purpose of this DBO definition here. You can also see that the DBO is represented before the name of the stored procedure. If you were to scroll down, you see that there's, instead of DBO, there's human resources dot and then some stored procedure names. And so due to the use of DBO in person and human resources throughout our tables and throughout our stored procedures, I feel it necessary to talk about what schemas are. The behavior of schemas has actually changed in SQL Server 2005 as opposed to previous versions. So schemas are no longer equivalent to database users like they used to be. Each schema is now a distinct namespace that exists independently of the database user that originally created it. So in other words, a schema is simply a container of objects. It's a namespace. It can be owned by any user, and its ownership is transferable. Namespaces are like last names. It differentiates Bob Tabor, me, from Bob the Builder or Bob Marley or Bob Dylan or whoever. It simply is a naming convention that allows multiple tables to have the same name by qualifying it with a different schema name. So in most cases, as you're creating your own applications, simply use the letters DBO. That's Database Owner. That's what it's short for. If you work in a more complex project in the future, you may want to revisit the topic of schemas so that you can provide more naming and permissions flexibility within your application. But DBO is typically defined as the default schema for your database, so you don't have to keep qualifying every table name and every schema name with the schema name as you write your queries. And there's a lot more to schemas than this, but this should be sufficient as a working definition for now. Okay, so the next thing that I want to talk about is naming convention. Now, you'll notice here that I just use kind of mixed case where I used every kind of key term I capitalized. There's actually quite a few other different things that you would might want to consider when you're naming your stored procedures. As you can see over here, you can see a convention of USP update employee hire. So USP stands for user stored procedure. This is as opposed to stored procedures that are managed by SQL Server itself. So some developers and DBAs will use just USP or USP with an underscore, or just SP or SP with a underscore, and then some will use no prefix onto the name like I just did. And people will have very strong opinions about what you should use, and they're all right and they're all wrong all at the same time. It really just doesn't matter. Whatever convention the people that are working around you are using, follow that one. That would be my advice to you. In regards to naming as well, you'll notice that I didn't really give this a very descriptive title. What employees by state are we doing? An insert, an update, a delete. So some people will prefix, as you can see here, the next part of the name would be with an update or a select or a get. Sometimes that's the keyword that they'll use. So you might want to use that as a prefix to do an update or delete or select or get, and prefix that with the name of your stored procedure. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to want to do to our stored procedure, now that we're in the alter state of our stored procedure, is that I'm going to add a parameter. And you can think of a parameter just like parameters in C# or Visual Basic functions or methods. It's used to pass in or to pass out information to or from the method. And that's the same way that you'd use it here. So in this case, notice that I'm prefixing this with the at symbol, so state province code, and I'm going to need to make sure that if I'm going to use this in my query, that's the correct data type. So I define that data type here, all right, and then I'm going to change the body of the stored procedure as well. So I'm going to add a where clause that's based on that input parameter. So now I'm able to filter which employees will be returned by passing in the state or province code and using that in the where clause for my stored procedure. Okay, so let's execute this now, because we're going to need to make that change into we're going to change our existing stored procedure so that its new definition will overwrite the existing one. So I'll select just execute. Okay, and now this time when I try to run employee by state, let's just try to execute the way that it is, I'll get an error message because it now expects a parameter called state province code, which was not supplied. Okay, so let's supply that that parameter. And in this case, the state that I'll use is WA for Washington, and then we'll execute it. And notice that I'm only returning back all of the employees for the state Washington. Okay, so those are the basics of creating stored procedures. Now let's just start tacking on some slightly more advanced functionality. Let's go back to the alter statement here, and let's talk about defining or declaring variables. And the way that you can declare a variable for use within your stored procedure and really open up the possibilities in terms of building your applications is to use the declare statement. Then you're going to create a variable name, and you're going to prefix it with that at symbol. So we'll go state province name. Of course, I make sure I spell it correctly here. State province name, and then we'll give it a data type. Okay. So that's how I declare a variable. Now, how do I retrieve information into it? Well, I'm going to paste in some code here, so just one quick second. And actually, I'm going to blow away most of what we've done up to this point. Okay, and this is a fairly complex stored procedure. Let's just walk through it. Paste one more line in here. Okay, so you can see here that I have declared two variables. And let's focus on this first variable. How do I put values into that variable? Well, you can do it through a select statement. So in this case, you can see that I'm going to select state province name equal SP name from the table person.stateProvince, where state province code equals the input parameter that we defined way up here. So what we'll do is grab out the full name and put that full name, this full name Washington, for example, into our variable. And by the way, this is a fairly nonsensical example. What I'm doing here in about 30 lines of code could probably be done in about 4 lines of code, but for the purpose of demonstration, I wanted to show some of these things, and this is the best way that I was able to figure out, at least quickly. Okay, so that's how you declare and retrieve information into a variable. There's another way as well. As you can see here, I'm using the set statement to set the value. And the main difference is that here I'm selecting a value from the database. Here I'm setting it to a known value, whether it's a literal string or some other value from another variable. So that's the difference between the set and the select statement to populate the value of a variable. And now that variable can be used throughout the remainder of my code, now that it has a value, and you can see here that I'm using it in my ultimate query that I perform at the very bottom of this stored procedure. Okay, so there's some other things about the stored procedure that deserve our attention, and you'll notice the use of the if and else statement. So you can see here that I'm performing some logic within my stored procedure, and if the if statement and the else statement, notice that I'm wrapping them in a code block, and the way you define a code block is with the begin and the end statement, and then you put your code block in between. So this is analogous to like doing this and this in C#, for example. If you were to use that convention in C#, it's the equivalent of doing begin and end in Transact SQL. It just defines a block of code that must be executed, in this case, in the else condition of the if-else. Okay, I'm going to blow away this example too, and I'm going to paste in a modified version of this so we can talk about output parameters. So here I'll just highlight all of this. I'm going to get rid of that statement completely. We'll come back to that later. And I'll just paste everything in here. There we go. And you would use output parameters to create parameters that can be set within the stored procedure and then recalled from the application or the statement that originally calls or executes the stored procedure. And we'll demonstrate the execution of it in just a moment. But notice that I've defined an output parameter by putting the keyword output next to the definition for a parameter. Let's go ahead and execute this alter statement, and notice I get a command completed successfully. Let's refresh our employees by state example, and you can see now over here in the object browser that we have an input parameter and an output parameter. They have slightly different icons in place, and also as you hover your mouse cursor over them, you can see that they have input-output versus input. Okay. Now, how would you use these? How would you execute and grab out the output? So let's go over to a new query window, or here we'll just use the existing query window we have. And here I'll paste in the statement that we'll use. Now, notice, first of all, that here's where I actually do the exec. So here's the name of the stored procedure. I'm going to pass in some bogus value, TXA. There's no state called TXA in our database. And then I'm going to define this output parameter here. And this is just going to be a container that will ultimately be populated by our stored procedure. And so to retrieve data into that, I'm going to have to declare a variable. So notice I was declaring a variable outside the scope of stored procedure, but that's okay because I'm going to execute all three of these lines together. And then I have a special T-SQL keyword called print, which will just merely show this to the results window. And I'm merely just concatenating the word output to whatever the value is. So let's go ahead and run this and execute. And it returned the output of US to us, and we were able to display it in the messages window. And we got that value from the output parameter that we defined in our stored procedure. Okay, so let's keep moving on. The next thing we'll do is talk about return values. So let me blow away everything that we've got up to this point. And I'll have all these queries available for you in a text file that you can type in and practice on your own and kind of follow along if you wish. But return values are used to return a single scalar value. And it's typically used for meta information about the query, or if you only need to pass back a single value as opposed to a result set. Or sometimes it's used, many times it's used, to pass back an error code. Something occurred that wasn't completely expected, but it was anticipated, and so you're able to pass that back to the calling application. Well, you can see in this particular case, I'm using it to return the row count. So I'm going to perform a query, then I'm going to grab the row count, how many rows were returned from this query, into a special variable, a server variable called row count, and this is just kind of like a keyword. It's something that comes automatically with SQL Server. We didn't have to define it or set it up or anything like that. And it'll give us the last operation we performed, how many rows were returned. We'll grab that value and then use the keyword return to send that back out from our stored procedure. Let's execute this now. Make sure that it executed fine, okay? And then let's go and now actually take it for a spin. And this code will look very similar to what we previously did, where we declare a variable. In this case, we're calling it row count of type integer. And then I'm going to use a select instead of a print statement to display the row count. So again, I'm going to use the select statement to retrieve the value that was defined in the return of my stored procedure. Okay, so let's go ahead and select these three rows and then execute. And it looks like I have a little problem with my query here. Okay, I just briefly debugged it, and essentially I didn't apply the alter procedure. So that's all that the problem was, and here I'm going to execute. And notice that, first of all, this executes, and I get the result set from the employees by state. But then at the very bottom, I'll get a second value represented in my results pane, and I get a row count of 290 that I accomplished by using the select statement. So to recap, if you just need to return a scalar value, you can use this keyword return to return a single value from your stored procedure. Okay, we've really scratched the tip of the iceberg in terms of defining and building stored procedures. There's entire books written on how to develop stored procedures that essentially support programming logic, and so there's not enough time to really get into much more advanced examples than what we've demonstrated. Hopefully this gives you the basics to understand where you can start it, and honestly 99% of the stored procedures are similar to the examples that we just looked at here in the last several minutes. But what I want to do right now is to kind of switch gears, and I'm going to change our current state of our employee by state stored procedure. I'm going to show you how we can call stored procedures using ADO.NET through both a Visual Basic syntax and a C# syntax. So let's do this. I'm going to copy and paste some new code into our stored procedure and then execute the alter statement. So this should greatly simplify all the work we've done up to now. It's a very simple select statement. We'll pass in a single parameter so we can see how to do that. So let's go ahead and execute that alter procedure. Okay, then I'm going to minimize this and open up And we'll just do this from Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition. And what I'll do is go through two quick examples. The first one, let's just go ahead and create this, and we'll start with Visual Basic, and I'll show how to do this with C# as well. So we'll call this stored proc first example VB, okay? And into the design view, I'll drag and drop a button control. Then I'll skip a few lines and then go to the data section of the toolbox. And we're going to drop a grid view. And the first approach we'll take is code-centric. So I'm going to double-click the button. And within the button click event, I'm going to type in the following code. So first we'll do dim cs as string. We're going to create a data source. So data source equal, and this will be a connection string for our data source. Okay. So cs will stand for connection string. So SQL Express initial catalog. We'll set the database. And integrated security will be equal to true, so this will use Windows off. So here, let's do this. System.data.sqlclient.sqlconnection. And the connection object is what will manage in the handshake between our ASP.NET application or our Windows Forms application and the underlying database that we defined in our connection string. So here we'll pass in the connection string. So using this connection to the database, we are going to first open it. Then we're going to create a command object. The command will manage what we ultimately hope to perform on the database. So cmd as new system.data.sqlclient. And you might want to use an imports or using statement so you don't have to go through all this, depending on whether you're using a Visual Basic or C#. So just as new SQL command. Next, we're going to set the connection for that command. Then we'll set the command type. And this is important. We will set it as the stored procedure type. If we wanted to use inline transact SQL, we would choose just text. But here we're going to use stored procedure. Okay. Next thing, we're going to set the command text. And this will be the name of the stored procedure that we're going to execute. Employees by state. And now we're going to give it a collection of parameters. So we're going to add a parameter, state province code, that we know our stored procedure is expecting on the other side. We'll give it the data type of nchar. So let's find it here in our list. And then we'll give it a size of 3. So now that we've defined the parameter, let's go ahead and set its value. Equal to WA for Washington. Okay, continuing on. Now that we've defined the parameters, the parameter collection for our stored procedure, we're going to need to put the return values in a container. In this case, we're going to read them using a SQL data reader. It's not really a container as much as it is kind of a bookmark into the current records that are being returned from SQL. So using reader as system.data.sqlclient.sqldatareader equals and then we're going to call the execute command. So execute reader, I'm sorry, got the wrong execute statement in there. So this is the type of execute command we'll use whenever we're trying to populate or work with the data reader. Okay, and here we go, grid view 1 dot data source equals reader, and then grid view 1 dot call the data bind method, and assuming that I typed in everything correctly, this should work. So let's save what we've got here, and we'll run this application. Okay, so let's click our button, and great, it worked. So we have a grid of all the data that was returned from our stored procedure. Notice that we get the column names here at the very top that were returned within our result set, and then also all of the values that were specified within our stored procedure. So great. Let's take a look. And this was how we would do this using a very code-centric approach. If you wanted to use the tool set and do this a little bit quicker, let's create a new website. We're going to call this one Stored Procedure. What do we call the first one? I forget. Stored Proc Second Example, we'll call this. Stored Proc Second Example VB. Okay. So this time I'm going to try to write almost no code. And first I'll start off by creating a connection using the visual tools. We will select a SQL Server. We're going to type in Express and choose the AdventureWorks database. Test the connection. Worked great. Okay. And go over to the design view. Open up the stored procedures. Let's go ahead and design this similarly to what we did before. Put a button on there and then put a grid control. Grid view. Okay. So let's choose a data source. We're going to create a data source using the connection that we created just a moment ago. You see that connection string right here. And we can save that into our web.config. Specify a custom SQL statement or stored procedure. That's what we want to do, so we're going to select next. And we're going to execute, select this stored procedure, employees by state. It's going to ask us where we're going to get that parameter from. After all, we have to supply it with state province code. Now here, I could select the value. It could be stored in a cookie. It could be stored in a control, like a drop-down list box of all the state names. It could be in some other form value. It could be in the profile. So in ASP.NET, you create a profile in the web.config. We could store it there. It could be from a query string value or from a session value. Or, in this case, I'm just going to hard code it. So let's do the WA. And then I'm going to click our test query. And it'll pop open this parameter values editor. That looks great. And it gives us the values that we should expect to see. Excellent. So let's hit finish. And now let's run our application. We did everything right. And I won't duplicate this one in C#, but I will show how to do the code-centric approach using C#. So great, we saw everything that we wanted to see here. Okay. Finally, for the benefit of our C# developers, I'm going to create the first example using C# instead, and we'll call this Stored Proc First Example CS. And And so let's go to the design view, again, button. And for the sake of brevity, I am just going to paste the code in this time, and then just do a real quick high-level overview of the code. Okay, grid view 1, and so let's get into our code here. And we'll paste in a bunch of code, okay. And so some things to notice, first of all, when we're creating our connection string, I have to use the escape sequence in order to make this work correctly. So this is all we had to do in VB, but in C Sharp we're going to need to add an extra slash to escape out correctly. Pretty much everything else looks similar. We open the connection after creating it in the using statement. We're going to create a command and set its connection, command type, and command text properties. We're going to add a new parameter and then reference that parameter's value property and set that equal to Washington. We're going to define the data reader and execute it against our command and then retrieve the values here and set them equal to our data source value for our grid view and then data bind. So let's hope this works correctly the first time. Alright, so let's click our button and it worked. So great. Okay, like usual, we covered a lot of space, but still there's so much left to cover. Hopefully this was a good introduction to these topics. We talked about the whys and wherefores of stored procedures. We talked about the simple definition using a create statement, how to change it using an alter statement. We talked about schemas and naming conventions for stored procedures, how to execute stored procedures from the query window. We just looked at how to execute stored procedures using ADO.NET in both Visual Basic and C# in a web application. We looked at input parameters, output parameters, return values. We looked at code blocks using begin and end. And we even inadvertently talked about control flow a little bit using an if and an else statement, declaring variables, and that's about all that comes off the top of my mind. So hopefully you enjoyed this video and you learned a little bit more about the basics of creating stored procedures. Thank you.